first patient account is 97738972199, Cincinnati Gas Electric Company versus Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. Mr. Gaynor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice, members of the court, good morning. If I may, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for a short time.
Where does the term Delta Revenue come from?
The term Delta Revenue, Your Honor, came from the same place as the concept it was created by the Public Utilities Commission. It's not found in the statutes or in the regulations of the administrative codes.
How is the moniker? I just want to know if the moniker has any significance to, you know, I understand the concept and what they do with it, but and how they made it up, really. But why did they use the name Delta? Does that have any significance?
Delta revenue represents, Your Honor, the difference between the special contract rate that the company actually collected during the test year and the tariff rate that the company otherwise would have applied and collected from the customer had there not been the need for a special contract.
Yeah, I understand that, and I understand the commission approved those contracts and all that. I just wondered about the name itself. That doesn't have any significance for our purposes. Delta, I mean, why wasn't it called Alpha?
Delta, I believe, Your Honor, because it represents negative revenue, if you will, that is imputed to the utility. It's a fictional creation that is imputed to the utility as if it had collected the revenue under the tariff, which during the test year in this case, it did not.
Has there been a history of the commission charging this Delta revenue back to a utility?
Your Honor, the history of Delta revenue and the genesis of Delta revenue began in electric cases. It has been applied in electric rate cases. Prior to the case of Bar, it had not been applied in a gas case, in a gas rate case. There is testimony that in the record that it had been the staff of the commission's position and that it may have been incorporated in stipulated gas cases. But there is not a decision of the Public Utilities Commission or an opinion that applies the Delta revenue concept in a gas rate case. And it is a case of first impression to this court. The case of Columbus Southern Power versus Public Utilities Commission is determinative of the Delta revenue issue. It was decided in 1993 by this court. And in that case, the court reversed the PUCO for requiring a phase-in plan that it did not allow the utility to recover the gross annual revenues determined by the statutory rate formula. In that case, the court found, and I quote, "The comprehensive rate-making formula provided by the General Assembly is meant to protect and balance the interests of the public utilities and their ratepayers alike. We cannot conclude that it was the General Assembly's intent to permit the PUCO to disregard that very formula in instances in which it simply did not agree with the result."
Counsel, is that the issue here, as I understand it, is really that the commission did not give complete credit to the utility because it discerned that the utility had mismanaged its project, and that the expenses that the utility incurred couldn't really be passed on to the customers?
Your Honor, that is the second issue, which was a prudence determination by the commission relative to a customer computer service project. The issue of Delta revenue, there was no finding of prudence, and that was not involved with this particular issue. With respect to the Delta revenue issue and the application of the controlling statute, I would again quote this court in Columbus Southern Power. The controlling statute 4909.15A requires the PUCO to make a series of determinations. Evaluation of the utility's property as of the date certain, a fair and reasonable rate of return on that investment, the expenses incurred in providing services during the test. The statutory rate-making formula is very clear, and it is mandatory, as found by this court. Once the determinations are made, and again I quote this court, once the determinations are made, the PUCO is required to compute the gross annual revenues to which the utility is entitled under Division B. By adding the dollar return on the utility's investment to the utility's test year expenses, a very precise statutory formula. Again, the words of this court, if the charges under the utility's existing tariff are insufficient to generate those revenues, the PUCO is required to fix new rates that will raise the necessary revenue. Justice Cook, what the Public Utilities Commission did in this case is follow that statutory formula to a point. The PUCO made the determinations under Division A of the statute. That is, it quantified the reasonable return on investment, the valuation of the utility's property, and the expenses incurred in providing service during the test year. It then properly calculated, as the statute requires, the gross annual revenue to which the utility is entitled. At that point, it varied from the statute. It subtracted approximately $3 million, from that calculation of the gross annual revenue to which the utility is entitled in statutory terms.
And that subtraction was based on an assessment that this, we're on the Delta revenues, right? With regard to those two customers, AK Steel, and that there were some anomalies, that they had to account for some anomalies with regard to the tariffs and those customers and those contracts.
It was not an anomaly, Justice Cook. It was the PUCO pretending that the company during the test year had collected tariff revenue as opposed to $3 million less of special contract revenue that it actually collected.
That's what they're imputing back to the utility amounts that they would have received, but for a discounting? Is that kind of how it went?
That's exactly the case, Your Honor. In essence, the PUCO refused to abide by the statute, which requires that the utility's revenues be calculated during the test year. That's 4909.15C. They disregarded the test year calculation of the revenues, the actual revenue that the company received, and made up a number, essentially $3 million higher, imputed that to the company, then subtracted that from the gross annual revenues to which the utility was entitled.
Although that's not the statutory scheme, there is some precedent for this having been done before, isn't there, counsel?
Your Honor, it is a case of first impression to this court. There is precedent of the commission doing that in electric cases. The nearest precedent of this court was in the Industrial Energy Consumers case, 62 Ohio State 3440. In that case, Your Honor, the revenues were higher than the test year revenues. Essentially, special contracts collected more revenue than the tariff rate. This court found that it was proper for the PUCO in that case to use those higher revenues, recognizing that the special contract revenue, the revenue that the utility actually collected during the test year, was the proper number used in the rate-making formula. That case was exactly the opposite of this case. Here, the revenues, and the term delta revenues, are lower than the tariff rate. Yet the PUCO applied the tariff rate rather than the actual test year revenues.
Let me see if I can understand in more simple terms. You entered contracts with Ford Motor and Armco at less than the market rate, correct?
Less than the tariff rate.
But these were approved by the PUCO at the time you did that.
They were required to be approved by statute and, in fact, were approved by order of the PUCO.
And one of the reasons you did so was if you didn't they were big enough and had enough resources that they could buy their gas directly from somebody else to cheap pay.
There was evidence presented on the record, Your Honor, that Marco could economically build a pipeline to an interstate gas pipeline and effectively bypass the public utility distribution system altogether. Yes.
So your viewpoint was if you didn't get from this kind of rate, you lost them altogether, correct?
That is precisely the case.
And by giving them a discounted rate and keeping them, even though you didn't make a lot of extra money out of that APM tariff rate, you still left with a lot of money that paid for all the underlying costs that you had. Is that correct?
Yes.
And if you had not done that, all of those costs that those extra revenues from Marco and Ford Motor paid for would have been divided up among all of your other customers.
The company would have filed a rate case, Your Honor, to make up that revenue deficiency, and you're exactly correct, collect those dollars from other customers.
So in an indirect way, all those other customers have, in fact, benefited from the revenues you got for the Marco?
In a direct way, Your Honor.
So to say that they're bearing all the expense of the discount, those two principles aren't
Your Honor, the special contract rate that was approved by the Commission was set below tariff rates, but above the fixed costs of the company. Essentially, the company had two choices. It could provide a discount, but maintain some contribution to fixed costs to the benefit of all ratepayers, or it could allow the customer to leave the system and file a rate case to recover those fixed costs. The company made the right choice for itself and for ratepayers. All ratepayers benefited by dint of the fact that the company was able to prolong filing a rate case, maintained a higher level of revenue, a higher number of customers over which it could spread its fixed costs. The other option was to simply refuse to discount the rate, let the customer leave, and file a rate case to make up the revenue shortfall.
Well, that's true with the ARMCO one, the ability to acquire from a different source. But with Ford, it was an industrial development, wasn't it? Wasn't it an incentive like, we'll give you an incentive for this power source if you come and locate your facility here?
Yes, Your Honor. The difference between the two types of contracts, Ford is classified as an economic development contract, which essentially is new load for the utility. ARMCO was a competitive response contract that the utility had to discount the rate in order to retain the customer.
I don't want to go into this too deeply, but sometimes certainly the local utility and sometimes the PUCO, I think, is part and parcel of acquiring these specific industrial places in competition with other states. Did the PUCO join with your client in working out a deal, if you will, for Ford?
Your Honor,
why don't you want to tell me that?
The facts and the circumstances of how that arrangement was arrived at were not a correct law.
Okay.
The PUCO expressly approved that contract by an order.
Okay, let's move from that for a minute because you only have a little bit of time to the CSS question. You capitalized that project at some $63 million. You allocated to this portion of your business, I think, some $19
million.
Is that correct? And about $11.5 million is what you asked for with regard to your rate. Why is the difference between the $11.5 and the $19 taxes and other things?
No, Your Honor. The company sought to include in this case recovery of the amount of the CSS system that is attributable to its gas business. That was about $19 million that the company wished to include in rate base. The commission excluded roughly half of that amount. That was the amount of the rate base that was disallowed. When plugged into the statutory formula, that resulted in approximately $2 million in revenue to the
Okay. Well, I didn't understand it that way. I think you allocated $19 million. Your brief says you allocated $19 million, but only an $11.5 million you asked for to be put in the rate base because of a tax differential or something between the two. Okay. Now, does that mean that if this is approved, that whatever the floating costs are between what is permitted in your rate base and what the actual capitalization was, our costs you'll never recover?
Yes, that's precisely what it means. The company's rates were set at a level lower than that which would recover the capitalized costs of that.
Is that also true of the Delta revenue?
Yes, the Delta revenue resulted in approximately $3 million exclusion from what the company could recover under its rates.
Now, if these amounts were included back into your rate base, would it exceed the rate of return to which you're entitled?
No, it would not, Your Honor. If the court reverses the commission and those amounts are included, it would precisely comply with the statutory formula. PUCO would be required to set rates that actually collected the gross annual revenue to which the company was entitled as calculated under the statutory formula.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gaynor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Wright.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Protect and balance the interests of the company and the ratepayers. That was the message this court gave to the committee as a result on the Southern case, which was cited to you previously. I ask you, how can this be accomplished with the policy of forced subsidies? That is what is being requested of this court this morning. They are asking this court to pronounce, as a matter of law, that captive care customers must always be saddled with higher bills to pay for negotiated rate decisions. They seek to shift known competitive risks, from the boardroom to these rate payers.
They had not had Foreign Border Company contract and the Marshall Field contract to help bear the cost of some of the fixed rates they had, the fixed costs they had. Do you agree with them that would have resulted in a rate case from the rest of the customers?
Your Honor, I don't know what would have happened if these customers were to have left the system. That is possible. The Commission does not dispute, and I want to make this very clear, the Commission does not dispute that the presence of these customers conferred a benefit. It conferred a benefit to the company in terms of the revenue that was generated. It conferred a benefit to the customers, as Your Honor expressed noted earlier, in terms of revenue that could be spread over these fixed costs. The issue before the court today, however, is how does the Commission integrate these anomalous situations, these negotiated rate discounts, into the rate-making process? 4909.15 does provide for a Delta revenue, allocation of Delta revenue. The question was asked earlier, is this a long-standing policy? It absolutely is, Your Honor. It's been applied in a number of cases, gas and electric. The company was well aware of the Commission's policy. The entries approving the contracts so stated that the effects of these contracts would be taken up in a subsequent rate case. The contracts themselves contained provisions that permitted the company to actually terminate if they chose to, if the Commission permitted something less than 100% of recovery of a revenue shortfall. And in fact, we cite to a contract on page 18 of our brief on the electric side where the company has expressly contracted against these competitive risks by forcing the customer to potentially pick up a part of this Delta revenue.
Let's say we buy your argument that, or the Commission's finding that we have to set them back $6 million in the span of income that they're Delta revenue.
concerns, raised no issues to this court about its impact on its rate of return. Apparently the company felt that would not be the case.
That seems inherently reasonable, that if you lock your customers, somebody's going to have to pay all these cheap costs, and they're going to have to back you, and everybody's going to suffer.
Your Honor, a certain level of fixed costs obviously would be eliminated as well. They would go with the customer. It is true the company would have the option of filing a rate case. What that might mean for other customers' rates is something that would be determined at that time and in that case.
You don't think that it's possible to go up?
The rates of all customers would go up, and that is exactly what the Commission's allocation of Delta revenue was intended to protect. How much are they going to go up? Is the utility going to be able to negotiate these arrangements, leave money on the table, secure in the knowledge that someone else will pick up the tab for that? The Commission's use of Delta revenue, its recognition of that, and its allocation of Delta revenue ensures that the company will aggressively manage its contracts and prevent that very thing from happening. And in fact, this long-standing policy that the Commission has applied, and certainly of which the company was well aware, has itself been effectively codified by the General Assembly in the policy statute at 49-2902, where the General Assembly has made it quite clear that utilities shall not promote competitive services on the backs of tariff ratepayers.
Counsel, when this case was over, was and the deductions were made, what was the ultimate effective rate of return for the company? The approved rate was 9.67. That was determined to be the correct reasonable rate of return. So how much did it not pay?
Your Honor, I do not know what the exact level of return was.
So the Commission doesn't go back after they've gone through these additional deductions and calculations to take a look at what the net result is to the company?
The net result, it would be difficult to determine that anyways, Your Honor, because the earned rate of return that the utility realizes is based obviously on a number of factors. But
at the end of the day, I assume there's a bottom line number. It would be unreasonable.
Your Honor, I do not know what that number is. I do know that number was not contested by the appellant in this case. It was never raised as an issue either at the Commission level or in this particular case.
But the Commission would certainly know it. I mean, you don't do a rate case and then...
I have every reason to believe, Your Honor, that the Commission staff would perform that calculation, and I have no reason to believe that rate of return was outside a range that would otherwise have been before the Commission as reasonable.
Okay. Now, moving to the legal issue of shipping, is that now moved with deregulation going forward? We're being asked to decide in this case.
Your Honor, that is a very good question. It's difficult for me to say that it's absolutely moot. I believe there will continue to be contracts that are entered into. I believe that one implication of this, for example, you're probably all familiar with and have read about the gas choice programs that are
under all kinds of mail.
Currently available in various parts of the state. One concern certainly that the Commission would have would be that for those areas where gas choice is not yet available, the people that are offered the special rates under those programs, under this scenario, would be asked to pay even more. That's a problem. The tariff customers in this scenario are being asked to shoulder all the risks, 100% of the competitive risks that this company knew about when it entered into this contract.
So will the holding in this case be somehow applied to a new environment for which we're really not even discussing?
Your Honor, I think it's something we have to be aware of. Figuring out exactly what the ramifications are for the brave new world that's out there is difficult to do at this time. I think the take-home, if you will, at this point in time is that there will continue to be contracts, there will continue to be special rate discounts. The commission has to be able to integrate what is not the norm, a discounted negotiated rate, into a rate-making statute, which really considers tariff rates. It's not disputed that in applying the rate-making statute 4909-15, that the commission applied the formula approach that this court has done on many occasions to calculate gross annual revenues. The commission did that. The statute then requires that the commission determine revenues and expenses in the test year. It does not say anything about actual revenues and expenses, and in fact, this court has previously recognized the authority of the commission to make adjustments to test year expenses to ensure that those are at reasonable levels. In the industrial energy consumers case, which I think is instructive in some regards, the court noted that it's entirely appropriate for the commission to consider revenues from special contracts in base rate cases and to apply the effects or the impacts of these special contracts to lower the rates for all customers. And that's what occurred in this case.
Well, if you're going to punish them for entering into these special contracts, not just this utility, but any utility, why don't you just disapprove the contract? Don't you lead them down the garden path, say, okay, we're for this, and then when it comes time to recover their cost, you charge it back to them?
Your Honor, the answer is no. They would let them down their garden path. This court has on a number of occasions noticed that 4905.31 is a non-rate-making statute. It is an exception to the rate-making process. Approval of a contract under that rate is approval of a negotiated rate. The entry approving the contracts themselves and the contracts both acknowledge that the commission, and clearly put the company on notice, that the commission will consider the impacts of these contracts in a subsequent base rate case. Justice Douglas, you hail from a part of the state where utilities have a significant number of special contracts.
And the highest rates. Thank you very much.
And the highest rates.
Yes.
And a holding from this court that says the commission cannot allocate Delta revenue in the way they did is going to make those rates go even higher. That's the gatekeeping function that the commission is performing here.
Okay, and I'd like to know about the gatekeeping function, because that's something, of course, we're concerned about too, and that's why it makes it subject to our review. But in addition to being concerned with consumers and concerned with the overall picture, we have to look at the law. Will you point to me some place in the statute that authorizes your Delta revenue concept?
Yes, Your Honor.
Other than the amorphous public policy section in 08 or whatever it is.
Again, Your Honor, in applying the rate-making statute 4909-15, this court has made it clear that the commission must balance the interests of both the customers. Once the commission applies the mechanical formula, as it's been referred to determine gross annual revenues, the commission then must ascertain a reasonable level of test year expenses and revenues. And in doing so...
But aren't those all fixed figures? They're all fixed figure. Your test year from the six-month period...
There are numbers, Your Honor, just as not every expense is properly chargeable and reflected in rates, the question is raised at this point, is that true also on the revenue side? That's what the commission did here, and the commission is charged with determining a reasonable level of test year revenues and expenses. And the statute makes very clear that in determining whether or not a rate increase is appropriate, and if so, in what magnitude, subsection D of 4909-15 makes it very clear that the commission must consider the maximum rate charged. We believe that to be the tariff rate. The commission designed rates that created a reasonable opportunity for the company to recover gross annual revenues. At that point, the commission's job is at an end. Recovery of the revenue requirement is the utility's responsibility. is impacted by a number of things, one of which would be a decision to contract and offer these special rate discounts.
All right, I understand that. Let's move to the CSS thing for a minute, because there are two questions I have with that. First is, does the commission staff and the commission really believe that that project was only a cost of $30 million, or a value of $30 million? When you had a consultant, two consultants coming in, one of them who said, we will finish the project, which they estimate is 70 to 75% done, you say 50% done, so let's hit 60%, whatever it is, it says it's going to cost $32 million to finish it, you give a whole value of $29 million something on it. How is that fair to the utility?
Okay. Your Honor, rate-based valuations, as you know, are factual determinations. 49.0905 says that the original cost valuation assigned shall be that determined to be reasonable by the commission. This is a burden that the rate assets carry, Your Honor. And in this particular instance, the testimony showed that by the independent consultant showed that the project was approximately 50% completed. What the commission is concerned about is a project that originally is estimated to cost $3 million. Why is that costing $80 million? Is it reasonable to plug in the entire $80 million into rate base? We submit the answer is no. The company invested excessively in a project which the record shows grossly exceeded the benefits from completing the project. The company had no system for monitoring this project. It got out of control. They delayed. That delayed cost to go through the ceiling. That's what the evidence showed. That was what was before the commission. The commission properly found that these costs were not reasonable. Their valuation of $30 million is generous, Your Honor. In that, it exceeded by approximately $10 million. The benefits that were identified.
I guess in all of these cases, we read the record differently. When I read the record, particularly in the CSS project, and find that the evidence was presented by the two consulting firms, the evidence presented by the utility here, that the project was, and I say you can compromise even at 50%, because if you look at, you say it's 50% done, and it cost them X number of dollars, and the staff then seeing, I mean, there's nothing contrary to their evidence on that issue in the record that I can find. Can you cite me to it? And then it was ignored completely in the order. I didn't see anything in the order about it.
Your Honor, both consultants testified from the stand that the project was approximately 50% completed, mm-hmm. and agreed then to complete the remaining part of the project for just under $15 million. The commission doubled that amount, and again, that doubling of that amount still exceeded the tangible benefits associated with completion of the project in the first place by $10 million. The commission has to weigh conflicting evidence. It did in this case. It found $30 million valuation to be reasonable. And Your Honor, you asked an earlier question about the difference in amounts. That would be attributable to the jurisdictionalized portion of this, the gas versus electric. Thanks, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Mr. Gaynor, you've used your time. It's going to take 30 seconds.
Before you get started, the commission is arguing that but for this ability to make an adjustment, ultimately the bag holders here are going to be the tariff rate customers. And I assume going to deregulation, that would become ever so much more aggregate. Is that right or wrong?
I believe that is wrong, Your Honor. Going to deregulation applies to the commodity that is provided to customers. What is at issue here are
but
distribution rates.
Customers, large groups of customers are now being grouped together by other organizations to get a better rate. Doesn't that lead the folks who don't get in any group get stuck?
Not with respect to the monopoly distribution service, Your Honor. AK Steel had already chosen another commodity supplier. The issue in this case was just the monopoly distribution rates. It had nothing to do with competition in gas or electric or commodity. which is the subject of 4929 that Mr. Wright referred to. And if I may, Your Honor, with respect to the prudence standard, company presented unrefuted evidence that the completion period for comparable systems at the time was 6 to 8 years. This system took 6 years to complete. The company presented unrefuted evidence that the cost of comparable systems built at the time was $75 to $100 million. The company capitalized $62 million.
Where did this $3 million figure come from?
That was in the 80s, Your Honor, the original estimate that was made on the project.
By the private company?
By the company. In July of 1990, the company at that time projected $42.3 million. The project ended up costing $62 million.
Kind of like a nuclear plant.
It didn't cost that much, Jack, but yes.
In my neighborhood, it did. Every day.
Thank you. We respectfully request that the Commission's decision be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Gaynor. This case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion.